Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Hootie who.
Like who? Anyway.
You okay over there, Candace?
I'm all right. I just had a swig of my passion. Wait, pineapple dragonfly.
What is it? Pineapple dragon fruit.
Dragon fruit.
Yeah. Lemonade.
Lemonade. That's what it is. So.
From Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you haven't tried it.
Go get you some.
It's a limited time.
So. Unless you're allergic to pineapple.
Or lemonade. Lena's face. Just the, like, what? She's like, who's stupid are you? Nobody's allergic to lemonade.
Allergic to lemonade? Hey, that's so sad.
People have all kinds of allergies. Some people are allergic to chocolate.
Okay, yes.
My condolences on that one. Oh, speaking of chocolate.
Oh.
And delicious treats.
Okay.
Have you been to Andy's Frozen Custard yet?
I went a long time ago. Is there a new one?
There's one kind of by us.
Oh, okay.
I only know of the one in the Colony.
Oh, there's one in Keller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's one in the Colony that I've seen. And I'm like, oh, my father-in-law's name is Andy. So I was like, I'm always like, we should get him some merch because he loves like graphic tees and stuff. I mean, I think he does. We always get him graphic tees and he wears them. So maybe he's just being nice. But yeah, so couple nights ago, Daniel went and got us these treats. Mm-hmm. And oh my Lord, I got the Boot Jack Daddy or whatever it's called. Boot Daddy.
What does that consist of?
It was vanilla frozen custard with hot fudge, caramel, and Oreo pieces.
Okay. Oh, that sounds delightful.
Did
you know they're building one over here?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did know that.
So now when you come to record with me.
I know.
You can bring me one.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, it'll probably be done by the time your house is done. And then I'll be going over there. So I'll be having to take the custard to you.
Okay. I'll mobile order it if that's even a thing. And then you can just swing by and get them.
Girl. Oh,
that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Well, I hate to drag us down now. Because, I mean,
you're going to give us a sweet treat.
Well,
and then-
okay. So the story I have is I'm always surprised when I come across a story that makes me go, what? Like, I've never heard of it before.
Okay, but it's not Hootie Who. It's not Hootie What?
Hootie What?
Okay.
Exactly. Today, I want to tell you a story about a missing person who went missing around the same time as the most shocking and devastating tragedies in American history. You may have heard this story before because it's been covered quite a lot. I've never heard about it.
Oh.
So I had to get involved.
Okay.
Because the last reporting on it was years ago. So the year was 2001.
Ooh.
The place, New York City.
Oh. Wow.
A woman named Dr. Sneha Philip. Have you heard this one?
No, I have not.
Okay. She was in her third year of residency working at St. Vincent's Hospital on Staten Island.
Oh.
She was referred to as a very talented physician. She was married to a man named Ron Lieberman, and they lived in a really nice apartment building just a couple of blocks away from the World Trade Center.
Oh.
Okay, before we really get into it, I think it would be helpful to know where Sneha came from. Sneha Ann Phillip was born October 7th, 1969, in a coastal town in India called Kerala. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
I believe
you. I didn't look it up, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Her loving parents had two more children after Sneha, two boys, actually, and the three siblings grew up very close to each other. When Sneha was still young, her family of five moved to Hopewell Junction in upstate New York, so that Sneha's dad, who was a doctor, could establish his career in America and provide his family a better life.
Wow, good.
Yeah. And back then, you could just do that.
Yeah.
Or I guess, yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Well, there's rules and regulations.
Yeah, there's rules. She adjusted really well to the new school system in America, the Western culture that she was thrust into as a child. I mean, when I lived in England, I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how different could it be?
Like, yeah, it's life.
I was like, they speak English. I mean, they speak English. Like, well, how different could it be? But it was so... It was a culture shock in a lot of ways.
Oh, it's a whole another culture. Yeah.
I can't imagine being a child and coming from, you know, all you ever know is a coastal town in India and then coming to America and everything's bigger, more spread out.
Oh,
and
especially New York.
I just can't imagine. But she did really well. I mean, kids are resilient.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And she was very smart. So she fell right into it. And her teachers remembered just how intelligent she was for her age. She was very compassionate for others. She was pretty. She was really artsy. And she loved to paint. She loved music. And at one point, she was thinking about maybe going into the arts as a profession. But ultimately, she chose to become a doctor like her dad.
Oh,
it must be hard to be good at
everything.
And then you just have to pick the one thing. Like, how do you pick? After high school, she went to Johns Hopkins University. And then in 1995, she attended Chicago School of Medicine. And there at med school, she met her future husband, Ron.
Mm.
They connected over their love of the arts and medicine, and they quickly fell in love with each other. Ron was actually a year behind Sneha in school. So as she neared the end of her coursework, she was like, oh, wouldn't it be so sweet if we could finish together? So
aww.
She decided to take a year off.
No way.
And travel Europe. She spent like most of the time in Italy. And so that when she came back, they could finish their med school together.
Sweet.
You know, take their boards together, apply for residency together. So it was just cool. They graduated med school in 1999. And they both landed residencies in New York City, which was great because her family was close by. He was actually originally from California.
Oh.
So it was nice that they both got residencies in the same place.
Right.
They moved to East Village, where Ron began working in the emergency room at Jacoby Medical Center. And Sneha worked at Cabrini Medical Center, specializing in internal medicine. These hospitals were fairly close to where they lived in the city. So while they weren't at the same hospital and they were like in two different disciplines, they were conveniently located. Really cool. I think it would be so cool to live in New York City.
You think so?
Yes.
It's not for me.
I know. Without kids. I couldn't do it with kids.
Yeah.
No way. But it would have been cool to live in New York City. I just love when places are walkable and you could just like literally walk from your apartment to any restaurant you want. And
yeah, I mean, that's nice.
Down to the grocery store. Like, that's why I love being in England, because I can just walk down and get some bread, or walk down and get some fish and chips, or
yeah,
walk down to the seafront, you know, just...
Yeah.
It's cool. You don't have to get in the car and go anywhere.
That is nice. Okay. I can get with that, but just all the people. It's so much. Anyway.
And you know, she was used to upstate New York. Okay. So she wasn't used to living in the city.
Okay.
But in May of 2000, Sneha and Ron get married in a small ceremony back where she was from in upstate New York. And that summer, the couple upgraded their digs. Mm-hmm. From the East Village to Battery Park City, which, as I mentioned earlier, was just a short walk to the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I get into Sneha's unraveling, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Here's what I want to say. She didn't deserve what became of her. Okay, just because someone makes mistakes... or even makes a series of mistakes, mm-hmm. and is at a, you know, we talk about this when people are addicted to drugs, just because someone is at a bad place in their life doesn't mean they deserve what they get. It okay. doesn't mean that they right. brought it on themselves.
Right.
It just means that they made mistakes. You know, yeah. someone doesn't, we don't get to weigh in on somebody's fate, essentially.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, no disrespect when talking about her behaviors in the months and days leading up to her disappearance. But I think it's important to consider all of it when trying to determine what happened to her.
Right.
Like, we need to know all the nitty-gritties.
Yeah. Let's like not judge that one
thing.
Right.
Exactly. Well, it's not just one thing.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I'm saying I'm going to get into all the stuff.
Okay.
And I just don't want, I would never want to trash talk a victim. And I'm not.
No.
I'm just telling you the facts of the matter, the reporting. So with that being said, let's continue.
Okay.
When Sneha started at Cabrini Medical Center, at first she really enjoyed it and was well received and was regarded, like I said, as a talented, intelligent doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But a short time later, something shifted because she started clashing with some of the employees there.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't just that she started to grow unhappy and didn't like her coworkers. The feeling was mutual.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The hospital was growing unhappy with her.
Oh.
It began as some of her colleagues feeling uncomfortable with her behavior, like showing up late for work.
Mm.
Like, unprofessional, you know, being unprofessional at work, or sometimes she seemed really ill prepared for the cases that day. Like,
do you think she was just tired? Like, it was a lot for her?
Well, yeah, but we'll just hang with
me. Okay, okay.
So, like I said, she would come in. It was as if she hadn't read the patient's chart before meeting with the patients, like, kind of like my fertility clinic. But Sneha's shortcomings on the job turned into behaviors that no one could ignore.
Mm-hmm.
According to multiple sources, she showed up late to work and drunk.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And was sent home more than once.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Other times she was just not focusing and they would send her home for that because they just didn't. They're like,
you have to be focused
home?
When you're tending to patients. These are people.
Exactly. And so it started out as like these, you know, she's coming in late, she's unprofessional. And then it became like things like, okay,
this
we cannot
is a liability.
Do this. Yeah, exactly. So in June of 2001, Sneha went to a bar with some of her coworkers from Cabrini, I guess the ones that still liked her. She okay. still liked. And they were all drinking and having fun until Sneha claimed that one of her male coworkers sexually assaulted her there.
What?
She actually, like, hit this guy.
Right
supposedly,
there.
Supposedly, yeah, to fend him off. And the very next morning, she went and filed a police report claiming sexual abuse.
No way.
The NYPD and Manhattan DA's office investigated. To what end, I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But they found that she was making up the story.
Oh.
Which,
oh gosh,
you have to cringe at, because when authorities that are meant to protect us say that a woman is lying about something like this, you're just like, how could you know that?
Right.
You know, like, what?
I know. Well, yeah, that's a whole, that's, I mean, a whole nother discussion we can have.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Show. Likely they gathered eyewitness testimony from that night.
Okay.
And the coworkers must have said, well, they were never alone together. It's impossible, whatever.
Hmm.
But that's, they determined that she was making this story up.
Oh, no.
I don't know if she was lying or not. I wasn't there. But this type of carelessness and erratic behavior was becoming a trend for her.
Mm.
Just this. So because authorities believed she was lying, she was charged with falsely reporting an incident.
Oh, no.
She was charged with assault.
Oh,
for hitting this guy.
Oh, no.
Harassment and trespassing. Trespassing, you say?
Uh-huh.
You see, the night before, when this all went down, the guy that Sneha hit told the police that she barged into his apartment and told his wife that she was just sexually assaulted by this guy.
Oh,
and so it was this whole big thing. And he was like, I don't know, even know what she's talking about. Like, anyways,
wow.
So she was arrested.
That is awful.
And she spent the night in jail for all of this. Now, her family was horrified. I mean, they believed her.
Yeah.
If she said she was assaulted, she was assaulted.
I mean, this is not like her. Why would she do this?
They felt it wouldn't be in her character to lie about something like this. Like, they just thought, how could you?
Yeah.
So after her arrest, they did notice a change in her. She became very depressed and withdrawn, and she began drinking more frequently than she had been, which was a lot.
Mm.
Everyone took notice of this, especially her family.
Oh, no.
Well, when the hospital got wind of this incident, they pretty much saw their way out with her.
Oh, man.
Cabrini had tolerated a lot of problematic behavior from Sneha, and this was just the last straw for them. So they sent her a letter saying that they did not wish to renew her residency at their facility.
Oh.
Sneha was pissed about this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
She really had no one to blame but herself for losing this opportunity. But she was very strong-willed and feisty, and she wasn't going to just take this lying down. She was like, I'm going to appeal this.
But did she not really think that this would come?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Rhetorical question.
I'm sure that Cabrini was under some sort of obligation when it came to her, you know, like a residency contract. I don't know how that works, but she was meant to do her entire residency with them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she probably was trying to fight it so that she could stay there, whatever. So while that legal battle was playing out, she needed a job.
Oh, yeah.
And she needed to finish her residency because she was going to have some serious questions to answer when it came to joining like a medical team somewhere.
Right.
I mean,
could she have just gone on to another hospital, or was there some...
So she did, actually.
Okay.
Surprisingly, it didn't take her long to find a new opportunity with St. Vincent's Medical Center on Staten Island, which is now called something else.
Oh.
Regional Medical Center.
Okay.
Something like that. They did know all about the drinking problems.
Okay, so like the reference to them was not good.
Right. So I don't know how that happened, but She had the grades. She had the GPA. Mm. She had the...
The smarts.
The letters okay. from her John Hopkins. You know, that oh, yeah. looks very good to a hospital.
For sure.
And so they were like, look, we'll bring you on, but you need to attend regular substance abuse counseling.
Oh, okay.
So this was their way of... letting her have that second chance.
That's amazing, actually.
I think it's amazing. And she agreed to it. She was like, yeah, you know, I will do it. While she did abide by the terms set forth, she ended up missing a couple of meetings.
Okay.
So they suspended her. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know what was going on around this time. Because there clearly was something going on with her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was struggling with something. I don't know what.
Whether it's the stress of the job or just having to do the studies and...
I don't know. I just don't know. It seems like they had the world at their fingertips, really. They yeah. were in residency. They were about to be... you know, completing their residency in a year or so, and they lived in New York City in a nice place. Like, it just seemed like...
My guess is that there was just a lot of pressure. Maybe she was trying to please everybody but herself.
Yeah. I've got some ideas about it.
Okay.
So, September 10th, 2001... Sneha had to appear in court to face that appeal that she filed against Cabrini, who didn't renew her residency contract. She was very strong-willed, like I said, and being let go probably was not acceptable to her. Now, I also came across a report that said she was there for a previous arrest.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't. So I think it's important to take away that she was there at the courthouse that morning. Ron went with her and she left the courthouse. So okay. In the grand scheme of things, there's also a police report that says that Ron told authorities he and Sneha had a fight there at the courthouse, uh-oh. Like regarding her drinking, potential drug use.
Oh.
And he was suspicious that she was cheating on him. With girls.
What?
Yes. Oh. And he's not the only one that suggested Sneha may have been bisexual.
Oh, goodness.
And I'll touch on that later.
Oh, okay.
So after leaving the courthouse that morning, Ron and Sneha went back to their apartment around 10:30 a.m. So after leaving the courthouse that morning, Ron and Sneha went back to their apartment around 10:30 to have some breakfast and tidy up the apartment because her cousins were coming in from out of town the next day, and they were going to stay with Ron and Sneha. So they were trying to get things cleaned up and ready for company. Ron left for work around 11:30 a.m., and he told police that was the last time he saw her.
Hmm.
Sneha stayed behind to finish cleaning the apartment, and later that afternoon, she chatted over IM with her mom, Ansu, while she was at work. I know, right? They messaged back and forth for about an hour on Instant Messenger, talking about, I don't know, what she was up to that weekend, or mostly casual things, but also important things too. Because at one point, Sneha told her mom she thought she was ready to have babies soon.
What?
Yeah. She Holy thought Ron moly. Would be such a great dad and was really excited about starting a family with him.
Oh, no. Like, now's not the time.
I mean, right? Now that we know what was all going on.
Yeah.
She wrapped up the conversation with her mom and said that she was signing off to go run some errands. The doorman in Sneha's apartment building saw her leave around 5:15 p.m., and she walked to Century 21, which is a huge department store in New York City.
Okay.
She lived a couple blocks away, maybe took her 12 minutes to walk there. But the doorman was really the last person to lay physical eyes on her that we know of. And her mom is the last known to have conversated with her that day. We do, however, have CCTV confirmation of her making it to Century 21.
Okay, making it inside?
Yes. Okay. So she gets there. She gets to Century 21. And this is a six-floor department store. And she's spotted in several places there that day. There are stills of her. And actually, I sent them to you. I want you to open your email.
Okay.
There are stills of her looking at the coats, which is what she wanted for her birthday. Aww. That's what she told Ron. So the coats were on the fifth floor of the department store. Then we know she got lingerie down on the third floor.
Okay.
And then in the basement, she purchased the lingerie and some new bed linens at 6:05 p.m. on Ron's credit card.
Okay. At 6:05.
Bed linens, that's just what the transaction said. Okay. We don't know if that was sheets or whatever.
A comforter or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever. She had plans.
So I don't think it was a comforter because of the bag she's holding in the video. I think it's probably like sheets or something like that. You might be wondering why she had Ron's credit card. I don't know for sure why. Maybe he sent her with his card just in case she found a coat she liked so he could buy it for her birthday. I'm not sure. By all reports, her buying stuff on his credit card was not nefarious in any way, shape, or form. She actually left all her credit cards back home at her apartment.
Oh, if she's having people over, then maybe she's buying things, getting the house ready for, or the apartment ready for that and all that. So
I don't know.
Anyway, speculation.
Yeah, totally. And there's a lot of speculation in this story. But it doesn't seem suspicious that she was using his credit card.
Okay, got it.
Ron didn't think anything of it. So after that first purchase, she went from the basement to the ground floor and purchased three pairs of shoes on another transaction on Ron's credit card at 7:18 p.m.
Okay.
A lady in the shoe department first said that she... So this worker in the shoe department says that she saw Sneha shopping with another woman, but then later said, well, I can't be sure that she was actually with her.
Okay.
So I sent you two stills of Sneha in frame.
Okay, I see it.
Standing in the first one. A lot has been made of her being with another woman at the shops, but no one has ever come forward to say they were the person that was with her that day.
Okay.
Even after this CCTV footage started circulating, these stills started circulating through the media, no one said, that was me, I was with her that day.
Okay. I mean, because they are standing close, but they're not like you can't really see that they're talking.
Right. I know sometimes I strike up a conversation with people in the store, or like just the other day this lady turned to me and goes, do you have kids? Like, I need to buy a birthday present for a 5-year-old. And so she was like, I don't know what to buy. And so I was standing there talking to her. I was showing her. I was like, here's a activity book and whatever.
Yeah.
So if someone had witnessed that interaction, they might assume that we were together.
Who was this woman she was with?
Well, they might assume we're together and we're not.
Right, right.
She is seen in a couple of frames with another woman.
Uh-huh.
At first, this other woman in both photos, I thought looked like two different people. So if you look at the lady standing next to her from 17:09 and 25 seconds, that lady appears to be wearing long sleeves.
Yes.
The lady that's walking in front of her leaving the store at 17:09 and 51 seconds looks to be wearing a sleeveless top.
Right.
But on reflection, the bag that this woman is wearing seems to be the same in both frames. Her hair seems to kind of be the same,
right?
Like put up the same way. So maybe it's the lighting making it look like she's wearing long sleeves or making it look like she's wearing short sleeves. I don't know.
I don't know. And I'm trying to look at her shoes.
I know. You can't really tell. It's so 2001.
Right.
And also, like, it was September in New York City. It was cold. Who's wearing sleeveless at that time? I don't know.
Right. And at this time in the picture with the long sleeve, maybe she got hot. If she's wearing a short sleeve underneath.
Who knows? Maybe.
I don't know.
All possibilities.
It's all questions.
I don't know. I'll post the stills on our Patreon so you can see. And by the way, it's free to join our Patreon and look at the extra photos that we post, just so you know. And as a side note, the reporting is that she was at the store somewhere between around 5:30 and 7:18 when she made that last purchase. However, the timestamps on the videos say 1600 and 1700, which is actually 4 and 5 p.m.
Interesting.
I think the timestamp could have been wrong given the fact that they had the credit card transactions.
Oh, right.
Which was really the timestamp that they put her there at. So just if you're looking at these stills and you're like, well, wait, that time doesn't even add up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I noticed that too. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but she made that last purchase at 7:18 and investigators believe she may have exited onto Broadway, I think based on the video, based on like what department she was at.
Okay.
And exited. This is just what they gleaned from the video.
Okay.
That image of her leaving Century 21 is the last known sighting of Sneha.
There were no other cameras like going in the direction she was going.
Here's the thing. Where she went after that and what she did that night and the next morning is the biggest mystery. We can, however, make an inference based on the weather that night because there's a video from people in New York City showing a downpour just after 5:30 p.m.
Oh.
So when she would have already been in the store. There's also videos from around the same time she would have been leaving that showed raining and thunderstorms. So it seems reasonable to think that maybe she went somewhere nearby indoors, either to wait out the storm or maybe she went to a friend's apartment to stay the night because it was torrential downpour and she couldn't walk home.
Okay.
Maybe she popped into a Starbucks.
Okay.
And sat there, but there aren't any more transactions on Ron's credit card after that Century 21 purchase. So if she did pop into Starbucks or another cafe or coffee shop, she didn't buy anything.
Okay.
Or maybe she purchased it with cash. We don't know. We do know that she didn't go back to her apartment after that because the doorman that saw her leave never saw her return.
Okay.
And his shift was over about 11 p.m.
Okay. All day long.
Right.
This is an all day affair.
Right. So the CCTV didn't pick her up coming back either. Ron arrives back at their apartment at 11:30 p.m.
Oh.
And she wasn't home. Now, as I said earlier, she was kind of known to go here and go there, float around, stay out late, stay over at friends' places. He thought maybe she had gone to her brother's apartment because they had a falling out a week or so before and hadn't spoken since.
Okay.
So maybe he thought maybe they're patching things up. Ron wasn't too concerned that she wasn't home because she's done this a lot.
Yeah.
And she didn't leave a note. She didn't tell him where she was going.
Oh, okay.
But this was one of his points of contention with her because she didn't always tell him where she was going.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of those things where he just like frustrated.
Where
is she now? Yeah, exactly. He was like frustrated, but he didn't think this night felt any different than all the other times before, that she could be out with friends at a bar. She had been going to gay bars a lot in that time, which is what led her husband and others to believe she was bisexual.
Okay.
And she did sleep over at strangers' houses sometimes.
What?
She would just go home with them.
Girl. Mm-hmm.
No reporting has verified that she was bisexual or that anyone had come forward saying, oh, I hooked up with her or anything like that.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityCairo.com. That's AbilityCairo.com.
It's just whispers in and around her friend group, things that people have put together with her going to gay bars. I used to go to gay bars all the time with my friends from Disney. And what are you going to say about that? I mean, just like, that doesn't make me gay. It just means I enjoy that.
You wanted a party.
It was fun. So I make nothing of it. However, there was an incident that we will talk about. So Ron just went to sleep that night.
Okay.
He just went to sleep, assuming that she'd come home the next day like she always did mm-hmm. when she had stayed out the night before with friends. The next morning was September 11th.
Oh, yes.
Ron woke up that morning and Sneha still wasn't home. And he probably is a bit annoyed at this point. He probably rolled
probably
his
more
eyes.
Than that, yeah.
But he didn't freak out.
Okay.
He didn't freak out because, number one, she'd come home late in the morning. A couple times before. Normally, she would come home about 8-ish, but she hadn't. So, and number two, she wasn't scheduled to work that day or the day before. Remember? Mm-hmm. She was suspended.
Right.
So, maybe she had made plans. Maybe she wasn't going to come home right away. Maybe she had a couple more errands to run before she came home to get ready for her cousins. He didn't know. He headed off to work somewhere between 7:30 and 8, and then we know what happened next.
Mm-hmm.
At 8:46 a.m. Eastern Time, an airplane intentionally mm-hmm. flew into the North Tower of the World Trade Center, and 17 minutes later, the South Tower was struck. Now, he's freaking out. Because
oh.
he's at work now.
He doesn't know where his wife
is. He works in the emergency room. He's
oh,
just heard about the terrorist
no.
attack. Two blocks from his apartment, and he's frantically calling the apartment like,
oh no,
maybe on her way home she got caught up in the mess, or maybe she's home and
oh man,
he didn't know the devastation. Like, he just didn't know.
Right.
So he's calling the apartment, she's not answering. He thought maybe she went to Ground Zero to see if she could help. She was a doctor,
okay,
after all. Or he thought maybe she went to work to help. Maybe they called her in.
Okay. Oh, true.
You know?
Yeah.
So he's like just trying to think. And of course he's shook, like the rest of the world was when that happened.
Absolutely.
We were all numb and shocked, devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't wrap our minds around this violation of our country, and horrified as we watched our fellow man jump.
Yes.
To their deaths on national TV. He could not get a hold of Sneha, yes. And he was concerned, yes. But as a country, we were in crisis. So he had, there was other things going on.
Yeah.
He was concerned that he couldn't get a hold of her, but
he didn't have time to be concerned.
Right. I said Ron was working at the emergency room,
mm-hmm.
and they were actually on high alert, of course, for
yeah.
wounded. And they thought they might be getting all this influx of people, but actually Jacoby didn't get a swell of patients like they thought they might.
Really?
Yeah. So around 3 p.m., he got permission from his supervisor to hitch a ride from Jacoby to Ground Zero in one of their ambulances. Because he was
wow.
like, I just need to get back there
yeah.
to check on her, like to go to my apartment, see if she's there or what.
Yeah.
And so it took the ambulance 6 hours.
No way.
To get from Jacoby Medical Center to Lower Manhattan, where he lived, to his apartment building.
Wow.
6 hours. By now, it is 9 p.m.
No way.
And it's dark. I don't just mean because it's nighttime. Mm-hmm. I mean because some of the streets had power outages.
Yeah.
The soot, the ash, like, everywhere, just covered.
Yeah.
The building that he lived in was completely locked. It was padlocked.
What?
Yes. All the lights were off. And then he finally sees a light flip on in his apartment building. Oh. So he's like shouting to the person, like, can you just go check on my wife? Like,
oh man.
So he gives the person his apartment number. They go and check on this apartment, but they came back to tell him that nobody answered at the apartment.
This guy, poor Ron.
Yeah. So with nothing he could do at his apartment building, it's not like he can get in. He was like, I'll go to ground zero and help.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and did whatever he could. He thought, maybe I'll run into her, because if she's volunteering down there, maybe
I can
see her.
Right.
It was a long shot anyways. He didn't run into her there. He finished doing whatever he could do there. And then he spent the night with his friends that lived in the West Village, arriving to their place about 2 a.m.
Wow.
Now, the next morning, Ron was able to get back to his apartment building. It's light. He can see more now. And the padlocks were off of the doors now.
Oh, okay.
So he goes up to his apartment and Sneha wasn't there. He noticed that she had left her credit cards, her passport, like all her ID, like all the stuff she would have taken if she had come back to the apartment.
Okay.
And maybe you did go to work.
So all this stuff was there before.
So like the ID. Yeah. All the stuff that was there before.
Okay. Nothing was
still
different.
There. Nothing was different. Nothing was added to or taken away from.
Okay.
It didn't look like she'd been there at all. Because remember, she went shopping and she had those shopping bags.
Yeah.
So it didn't look like she had come and gone at all. None of Sneha's family knew where she was either. So Ron and her family, for that matter, were at a loss. I mean, they printed hundreds of flyers to post around the city.
Well, and by then, everybody's looking for their loved ones.
Lena, exactly.
Oh,
thousands of other people were missing, too.
Oh, man.
I cannot imagine how it must have felt, like how helpless you must have felt looking for your loved one while everybody else was looking for their loved one.
Yeah. But knowing that her disappearance was not contributed to the planes.
Right. So they went around to local businesses. They knew resources were thin and concentrated. They went around looking to see if anybody had seen her the day before or that morning, but they hadn't. Nobody had. They went to the local lesbian bar that she loved to go to. They hadn't seen her.
Hmm.
That night, Sneha's brother walked right up to a reporter that was standing at Ground Zero and said his sister, who was a doctor, was missing. And he said, I was on the phone with her when she ran into the towers and tried to help. And then the phone went dead.
What?
This was a lie. He didn't know what else to do, to be honest with you. He thought, if I just group her in with the 9/11 victims, they'll start circulating her pictures, so to see if anybody had seen her.
Oh my gosh.
He knew that by setting her apart, the police really
weren't
going to be able
that.
To do anything for her.
Oh, wow.
So Ron filed a missing persons report with the NYPD and said, look, my brother-in-law told the reporter that my wife was in one of the towers, but she wasn't.
Oh,
at least we don't think
no.
she was. Sneha had told her mom that she wanted to check out the Windows on the World venue because her friend had an upcoming wedding there. And she was like, I've never been there. I want to go look at it. But they didn't think she would have gone that morning.
Yeah.
So they didn't think it made sense that she would have been walking home from her friend's house and then said, you know what? I'm going to go check that out right now.
Yeah.
At 8:30 in the morning. And then she was
set time.
Right. Anyway, Ron explained to the police that he was really worried about his wife and suspected that something really bad had happened to her. Like, he was like, I think she's been taken. I think she's met with foul play. And police had no reports of any homicides on September 11th or the day before, other than the shooting of that Polish immigrant, Henry Siewiak. And you might realize that name because other true crime podcasts and shows have have done his story. That happened late the night of September 11th in Brooklyn. That case is actually still unsolved to this day as of this recording. So with police, firefighters, paramedics, city workers, every Tom, Dick, and Harry searching in the rubble, cleaning the streets and nearby businesses, Sneha's disappearance wasn't getting much attention at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
By December, her family had hired a private investigator to really start investigating because nobody else was. He was pulling her credit card records, phone records, everything he could gather and pull and look into. There was no activity on her cards whatsoever, not on Ron's card, not on her card, since September 10th, that Century 21 shopping trip. No weird numbers in her call log. No trace of her.
What?
At all. A police report noted that fallout between Sneha and her brother a week or so before Sneha went missing. Here's what it said. Detective Stark claims that John, Sneha's brother, told him that Sneha was over at his apartment one night. And John steps out to go pick something up. I don't know if he went to go get more beer or whatever, but he leaves Sneha and his girlfriend back at the apartment. When he gets home, he finds Sneha and his girlfriend in bed together.
What?
Now, John has since denied this conversation ever took place. In fact, he says he's never even met with Detective Stark.
And who... So Detective Stark is saying that he was given this conversation.
Right. And he put this in a police report.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Detective Stark has been confronted about this report. Okay. And, you know, people have outright asked him, like, John says he's never told you this. And he's like, yeah, I'm aware. But what a wild story to make up. Like, I didn't make that up.
Right. Why would I make this up?
Right. We know John to have lied in the past.
Oh, no.
Don't we? He walked up to this reporter saying his sister was in the towers when it all happened.
Sounds like that would be trying to throw any kind of investigation, if there would be an investigation, off the trail.
So, yeah. I mean,
sorry if I'm jumping ahead.
Who's lying?
Right.
That is a weird thing for a detective to just pluck out of the air.
I mean, you're a detective. You're trying to find the truth, not create lies.
Exactly. So we know John lied in the past to preserve his sister's memory. Is that what's happening with this? Mm. Is he lying? Is he denying this ever happened because he doesn't want people to think less of his sister? I don't know. But he's not the only one that claims that Detective Stark's police reports were false.
Okay.
Ron said, you know that police report that said that he and Sneha had this fight at the courthouse, arguing about her drinking and drug use? He says that never took place.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Is he trying to protect Sneha too? Or is Detective Stark lying about both of these things? We don't know.
Weird.
Weird indeed. Now, Detective Stark gets a hold of some CCTV footage from Sneha's apartment building from the morning of.
Oh, okay.
They came across a video from the lobby the morning of September 11th. At 8:43, someone enters the lobby and stands in front of the elevator for a few minutes before turning around and exiting the building. Unfortunately, the footage was really poor quality. Mm. I can't even find the footage. The sun was shining directly because of the time of day. The sun was shining directly into the camera, so you couldn't see. It was just a figure, like a silhouette.
Oh.
And you couldn't tell who the person was. Sneha's family thinks it looked like her.
Like the form of her?
Yeah. And even Ron says, like, just the mannerisms of the person, he felt like it was her. However, the person standing in the lobby was not holding any bags. No handbag, no white Century 21 bags. Back then, and after all this time, no one has ever been able to identify who was in that video.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just left with more questions that lead to more theories and her disappearance, essentially.
So this person, did they get on the elevator?
No, they left. Stood in front of the elevator for a few minutes and then they turned around and left.
What?
You can look at things backwards, forwards, sideways,
mm-hmm.
but it all just leads to more questions. Nothing is straightforward in this disappearance. Now, September of 2002, a year after Sneha disappeared, her family and friends held a service in her name. According to an article from the New York Daily News that was originally published in 2008, Sneha's family feels closure. They believe she died in the towers that day.
Oh.
Sneha Phillips' name is etched in the Ground Zero Memorial, along with all the other presumed victims of 9/11.
Wow.
So in 2004, Sneha was declared legally dead, and they removed her name from the victim list, the 9/11 victim list. They said there was no evidence to suggest that she died in 9/11. I mean, that's so just such a dumb argument.
Who decided that? Like, who decided just to take her judge, name off?
The courts.
But why was this even a discussion?
Like, I have no idea.
Don't they have other things to worry about?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, remember they were giving compensation.
The
government was giving compensation out. That actually closed in 2003. So okay. They weren't going to get any compensation anyway. And it's not like they were asking for it. Her family was not looking for money. They just wanted her to be acknowledged.
And have closure.
And have closure. Honestly, I could go off about them saying there's no evidence that she died. And I'm like,
how
much evidence do you have that any of the other victims died? And like,
that's
a bone fragment. You know what I mean? It's like... Don't be stupid.
Oh my goodness.
Do not be stupid. I beseech you. Anyways, her husband Ron appealed the lower court's decision, and it took 4 years, but a judge did side with the family in the end. 4 years. Talk about stamina. Aside from the legality of it all, if it helps her family cope with the loss, choosing to believe that she died that day and in that way, what can you do?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, in their defense, there's also no evidence suggesting that anything else happened to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what started out as a lie, when her brother just wanted someone to pay attention to his sister, became the only thing that really made sense to them. Like, the more they thought about it.
I could see that, but.
So that's the first theory, is that she died in the 9/11 attack.
Like, she stayed the night with someone, got up the next morning.
Yeah. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
This is what her family's sticking with. But where are her bags? I'm sorry, I raised my voice. Where are her bags?
They're from at Century 21. They're at the person's home where she went that
she
night.
She bought over $500 worth of stuff.
Maybe it was for the person she was going to see.
Okay. The lingerie. The bed linens. I thought the same thing.
Like, when you were telling me what she was buying, I was like, okay, she has plans.
Okay. Or could it have been a present for her friend that was getting married?
Okay.
Maybe she delivered this present. Maybe that's why. But where are the other three pairs of shoes?
Yeah.
You don't generally buy someone's shoes.
Three pairs.
Right. So she's seen leaving Century 21 with these white plastic bags. If she went to a friend's place to escape the rainy evening, stayed the night, and then the next morning found her way to this chaos that was going on down at Ground Zero, did she say, let me grab my shopping bags real quick and head down there? That doesn't seem logical.
No. Mm-mm.
It seems more logical to believe that she would have just left all of her stuff at her friend's place
right,
and went straight to Ground Zero to help. And if she did, when she was reported missing, why did no one come forward to say that they were with her that night? Why did no one come forward saying, oh yeah, she stayed with me that night and yeah. I have her stuff?
Well, it was a secret. Whoever she was with, they okay. didn't want the family to know.
The only sense I can make of that theory is that she was actually inside the towers with her shopping bags when the attack occurred. This is the only thing that I... So we'll talk about what you just said in a second.
Okay.
I told you that her friend was getting married. Maybe she did walk home and say, you know what? I'm right here. I'll just pop up and see the Windows of the World venue. I used to go to school downtown and in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I was near every single thing in Charleston.
Yeah.
So if I was walking down a street or if one of my classes got canceled or if I had a break, I might go to some historical, like I might go to the Battery.
Yeah, go check it out.
It would not be out of the ordinary to just pop over to some place that you maybe take for granted that's at your fingertips.
Right.
So it's not wild to think that she didn't just go there that day.
What time was she, or what time was this figure shown on the camera?
8:43. 8:46 yeah. is when the first tower was hit.
And that's what I'm thinking, like, could that have been her standing in front of the elevators? She hears this commotion and then goes outside to right. see what's going on.
Sure.
And then
possibility.
And then disappears.
Yeah. Where are her shopping bags, Lena?
They're at the person's house where she stayed the night before.
Right. Probably. You're right. So let's go back, though, because if she did go to the Windows on the World, that's on the 107th floor.
Ooh.
And the plane that hit the North Tower ripped through 93 to 99, those floors.
Okay.
Making it
impossible
for her to have gotten out.
Yeah.
Essentially. Here's another scenario that my imagination came up with. This is kind of what you said. She's walking back to her apartment that morning. She made it inside her building. That was her on the mm-hmm. footage. She's standing in front of the elevator and goes, crap, I left all my stuff.
Mm.
So she turns around to walk back to this place to get her stuff. And then the first tower struck. Then she runs to help.
Okay.
Okay. And she dies, you know, trying to save people from the building. It would explain why she didn't have her shopping bags in that lobby video. Like you said, maybe the person that's not coming forward
mm-hmm.
saying she stayed with me last night doesn't want anyone to know
right.
that she stayed with them.
Exactly.
That's all I can think of. She may or may not have had these casual hookups,
mm-hmm.
may or may not have gone home to spend the night with strangers. Maybe it was a stranger's apartment that she popped into. And this person doesn't want their partner to know about this.
Right. Okay.
Now, others have suggested that Sneha just walked away from everything the night before, as in she left of her own accord. A lot could be argued about the fact that she didn't take anything with her and that her digital trail mm-hmm. was completely inactive after September
yeah,
10th.
Yeah, that totally just disregards everything.
I mean, if you're planning to leave, or even if you make a split-second decision, you might need to take something with mm-hmm. you.
Absolutely.
Remember the story we did on the disappearance of Robert Hoagland
mm-hmm.
back in episode 49? I won't give away the ending of his story, but it is possible to take nothing with you and start
right.
over somewhere else. One of her former coworkers from Cabrini heard about her disappearance and was like, she probably used 9/11 as a distraction and just started a whole new life somewhere.
But she went missing the day before.
Right.
She didn't know that was
going to
happen.
Maybe she was staying over at somebody's house.
Okay.
And then was going to come home that morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to make them think I died in the towers.
That's so sinister.
It's definitely something that investigators looked into and needed to consider because, as I mentioned before, Sneha was on a downward trend.
Yeah.
She was in her residency, staying out all night drinking, showing up late for work.
Mm-hmm.
She was tanking her career before it even got off the ground.
Yeah.
So maybe she thought she would leave it all behind and start over Just fresh start somewhere. The last theory about what happened to Sneha is that she met with foul play. Did she leave Century 21 on September 10th and get snatched somewhere along the way?
I mean, hey, she had a bunch of bags in her hands. Somebody could have... Well,
did she get mugged?
Right.
That's my question. Like, did someone steal her bags and, like, knock her out, put her body in a dumpster, and then nobody ever found her because of what happened the very next morning?
Right.
I think that would be quite lucky if...
Right.
For someone who had committed a crime like that. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
When
all emergency personnel are focused on... Yeah. The one thing and the one thing only. Ultimately, Sneha Philip is still considered a casualty of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. There's a 9/11 living memorial website where she's featured. And as I mentioned, her name is etched into the memorial at Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
She is the only person that has been reported to have gone missing right before 9/11. And we don't even know if she did go missing before the towers fell. There are a lot of remaining questions about what happened to Sneha Philip. Mm-hmm. I know there are some questions that I can't let go of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful that her family can find comfort in choosing to believe that she was a victim of 9/11. I think it's a lot easier to remember her as a hero.
Sure. Yeah.
Than always wonder for the rest of your life what happened to her.
Right. I mean, and it very from how you from what you say and how you told the story, it really can
it's possible.
It's very possible.
Very possible. The most recent reporting on her disappearance was on an episode of a series called Missing, which aired in 2022. The host, Kristen Thorne, is an investigative reporter in New York, and she reached out to some of Sneha's family to see if she could get an interview with them for the show. But Sneha's mom said she didn't want to participate in a show about a missing person because she didn't believe her daughter was missing.
Hmm.
So they still believe she was a victim
okay.
of 9/11. Maybe there are other reasons why they believe that.
Yeah, and it's kind of morbid to say I hope she was
right.
a victim of that, because then that is, I mean, that's the ultimate closure.
Right. It's sad that there's so many questions.
Yeah.
And that if we don't believe that she's a victim of 9/11, we believe that she met with foul play and we still don't know what happened
yeah,
to her.
Then there's still so many questions.
Right. We believe that she met with foul play or that she decided to start a new life somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't feel good either.
No.
So it's tough, but at least her family and her husband, Ron, actually still believes that she died in 9/11. I'm not sure if that's what they've conditioned themselves to believe or if they really believe that because of other things they knew about her, or things that she
right.
said or whatever it was.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what a whirlwind. Like that's
yeah,
that's confusing.
It's so confusing. I mean, just did she stay with you that night? Like, are you listening? Did she stay with you that night? Just tell somebody.
Right.
So they at least know that she was okay.
Right. And it's if she stayed with you, okay, she left in the morning.
She left in the morning and she probably did die in the towers then.
Right.
I mean, if she left in the morning that morning, that probably was her on the video. Did she leave her stuff behind? Just tell somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's frustrating because we want to make sense of all
I know.
Of it. And we're just left with this is what happened. Like this is the end result.
These are all the things that happened and make of it what you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. Even though she had all these things in her life going on, she deserves to have justice if there
yeah.
was something sinister that happened.
I know. And you know, we talk about risk-taking behaviors and how that lends you to how that puts you at risk of becoming a victim of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it didn't?
Right.
What if it didn't? I mean,
true.
I know a bunch of reckless people who are not dead.
Yeah.
that should have been dead five times. But it's just, it's sad because her memory is associated with all these things that we've dug up to try and figure out
what happened
to her. Mm-hmm. And it's left making her look like she brought this on herself, whatever happened to her. And that's just not fair.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. She was making mistakes. Maybe she was a bisexual. Maybe she was going through an identity crisis at that time. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to figure that out because she was married to a man. And she's like, wait a minute, I'm attracted to women. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Right.
But something was going on with her where all these things seemed to be unraveling at the same time. I don't know.
That's sad.
It's so very sad. And she should have gotten an opportunity to work that out.
Yeah.
But that's all I've got for you about that.
Wow. Thank you for the confusion.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All the questions running through my head. Thank you for that. I do believe that they got it right, that she is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The thing that gets me is like telling her mom about her being ready to start a family with Ron. That doesn't make me feel like she walked away.
But I mean, her behavior about the just kind of being erratic and showing up to work late and making all these decisions that don't really make sense. And then she's going to throw in we want to have kids. I'm ready to have a baby. It just seems so erratic. It adds to the
manic. Like, yes. It's almost like she may have been, maybe she was bipolar. I don't know. There's no reporting of that. But these erratic behaviors and then the depression, it just...
Maybe she thought having a baby would make things better, make her feel happy. I don't think that's anything to note saying that she was planning for the future.
Right.
I think she just was kind of erratic in her thinking and trying to grasp at something to make her feel good or happy.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, she was at, I don't want to say the prime of her life, but she was in residency. That's not exactly, I mean, there is pressure in that.
Absolutely.
But she had graduated medical school. She was a doctor. She was just doing her residency. Mm-hmm. And all she had to really do was do it.
Yeah.
Show up. And
maybe sometimes that's the hard part.
You know what I mean? So
it's just doing it. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's a really sad one. And I had never heard this case and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I haven't either. So, man.
So
I'm sorry to the family. Mm-hmm. My heart hurts for you.
I know.
I'm glad you have closure for yourself and rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Neha. And if you were with her the night before, just please tell somebody. Yeah. Just be like, yeah, I was with her. It's been long enough. It's been long enough. Okay. Yeah. Tell somebody.
Yeah.
Tell somebody and then they can tell somebody.
Right.
Okay. I know who she was with. I can't tell you who. But yes, she was fine. Just come on, guys.
I know. Wow.
Anyway.
Ooh, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.